Hello, everyone. We are back now for an exciting recap of Chelsea versus Tottenham. Yes, it's been 24 plus hours since the game actually occurred, but we are here and we are super excited to talk about it because what a game it was. Our first episode in over a week and just a stellar performance by the Blues, something we've never seen, at least this season. A 4-1 win. However, we're going to get to it later. Two of those goals don't even matter, and it was just Nicholas Jackson stat padding to get the hat trick. We all joked about that, but we're here anyway to talk about it. What a freaking match, boys. Alex and Peter with me. It was something that Chelsea, a first half that we have not seen offense-wise and possession-wise from this club throughout the entire 2023 season. And honestly, I can confidently say probably most of last season as well. Just a stellar performance, whether it was spreading the ball wide. Unfortunately, since we're all at college, we haven't been able to watch Chelsea games together. But it's the things that if we were together sitting down that I know we would be like, find the through ball there. Find Reece James through. Find Raheem Sterling through. All the Chelsea players were finding the passing lanes that were there. So much so that there were, three goals that were called off in this game because all these players were finding the lanes, some of them, unfortunately, too open. But like I said earlier, if you're new here, we appreciate you joining us. Hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. I am Josh. I'm joined by my friends Alex and Peter. Guys, let's get into breaking down this one of Chelsea beating a top five Premier League team this season in Tottenham. Top three at that. Yet we don't need to talk about where Chelsea is in the Premier League standings. Let's just take in this game. How are you guys doing?
Well, I'm doing well, obviously. As we always say, it's better coming off of a win, especially a win at this of this magnitude against Tottenham in a rivalry, 4-1, four goals. I haven't seen four goals in one game since like 2019, maybe, honestly. But like Josh said, there was a bit of stat padding going on. Those Nico Jackson arguably had one of the worst hat tricks I've ever seen in my life. Three tap-ins, which he also probably had a hat trick of missed chances, if we're being real there. Like you say, Josh, it was really, really good offensively. But I do think everything that happened in this game, you need to take it with a grain of salt, just because it was already easy when it was when we were playing a man up and it was 11v10. But then them getting the second red card, 11v9. You can't take anything away from this game after that happens because, like, it's just for a large portion of the game, it didn't look like we were doing anything and we couldn't break them down. We couldn't beat a simple offside trap, which was horrible to watch, but we did in the end. But you have to expect to win there, and we did. Luckily, we didn't somehow manage to screw something up. We almost did at times. They somehow equalized before it got ruled out for offsides by Eric Dier. But, I mean, it was just a fun game to watch because it was just all Chelsea. It was just fun because we haven't been able to enjoy a game like that in forever. Obviously, like I said, there has to be an asterisk next to the game. But it didn't make it any less fun. And obviously, any win against Tottenham, no matter how it is, you're always going to love it. And I did enjoy that game a lot.
Yeah, it's always a good time to win in a derby, a London derby at that. And, Tottenham obviously undefeated in the league so far this season. They've been really, really dominant. And to kind of put a big blow in their season so far, at least, it is a nice feeling, especially when Chelsea, at least at this current moment, aren't really in that mix of things at the top of the table. But hopefully, this is kind of performance they can build on. I wouldn't say an inspiring performance, but I was still happy with, several aspects of the way things went. I thought the midfield was, I thought Caicedo actually had a really good game. He had that disallowed goal, which was kind of not really disallowed with the pen. It's too much to even comprehend. And I thought defensively we were very solid, after conceding early on. So, overall, I'm going to take that back. I know that's kind of crazy. I would say we were relatively solid defensively until they got to nine men. And then it seemed like for some reason our defense just kind of collapsed and they just weren't paying. Like it felt like they were going to score any second. But anyway, overall, happy with the win. And, I'm just hoping We can kind of build on this. I know I feel like after every win we get this season, guys, it's like, hey, can we build on this? Like, let's build on this win, and then we just happen to lose again. And now next week we got Man City, and that's not going to be an easy one either.
I mean, all we have to do is get them down to 9 men again and, you know, just get a few red cards real quick, and then maybe we can beat them 4-1 as well. You never know.
It was, I don't know if anyone touched on it yet, but the goal right after Nico Jackson's, it happened to end up being the game winner in the 75th minute before it tacked on 2 more. That was about 90 seconds after. I forget who it was that the goal got ruled off. The absolute beautiful strike by the Tottenham player. Again, slipping my mind. That
it was Eric Dier.
Was it Dier? I think it was.
If you were listening to me earlier, I actually said that it was Eric Dier, and then it got ruled off for offsides. So just saying, by the way, just wanted to point that out there. Just saying.
Yeah, I guess I don't listen to Peter's rants as clearly as I need to, but it was Eric Dier, so thank you for butting in there, both you guys, and helping me out. What I wanted to say about that was I was watching this game, again, like I mentioned, the whole college thing, not to bring it up again, but I watched the majority of this match because for us it was at 3 p.m. that it began, and I watched most of it in my stats class, and I had it on a computer in a completely silent, like 75-person lecture with one professor who was going over our study guide for a test that is happening tomorrow. So I guess I'm screwed there. But I was able to watch the match on my computer with my friend who was also a Chelsea fan. So we were watching next to each other, and the amount of times that Chelsea almost had a goal and I almost screamed was very close. Then when Nico Jackson got the 2-1 goal to get the win for Chelsea, at that point I didn't know it, but I started banging the table because I couldn't make any noise, you know, out through my mouth screaming. So you kind of just hear this, like just like pounding of the desk, and I'm sure I got a few looks from there, but I was absolutely ecstatic. I know whatever, you know, Tottenham fans want to say, whatever fans around the Premier League want to say, that they were down a man and then two eventually as well. I get it, but just even before then, though, I felt like Chelsea was playing to their truest potential, that with all these players that we signed in the past and the Chelsea players that have been here for forever, you know, even through their academy years that were playing in this game, it all clicked together, it felt like, in the first few minutes in this match, up until the Romero red card in the 33rd minute that Palmer was able to slot in the penalty. I just thought this team kind of used every facet of the game to their advantage and just really played absolutely superbly well. Is that the right word? Just played to their truest potential. And that's what I want to see from this squad in the future. And if Pochettino can keep this thing rolling, that would be absolutely phenomenal, guys. So do we have any other thoughts before I send it to the match stats?
Well, I just want to say I talked a lot about how we should have like an asterisk next to the game, but I will say I think that for that 15 minutes, you know, before that red card, I think we were still playing super well. Obviously, Spurs fans are going to use it as an excuse that obviously they're playing down, so it's not like a real result. But I mean, we had 2 disallowed goals before then, before they were even down a man. So we could have been up there if our team knew how to stay on sides, which clearly we don't because of how many times it happened in the game. But we were still playing very well. And I mean, even the Spurs goal was unlucky. It's a deflection, you know, can't really do anything about it. So I mean, in the grand scheme of things, even those first 15 minutes where we were still playing 11v11, we were playing well. It's just more so trying to use those 15 minutes. I think we can take away more going into the next few games than we can the rest of the game. But like I said, great, great game. Great, great offensive showing. Hopefully Nico Jackson can use this momentum, but I don't know. We'll see.
The Sue at the end of his 4th goal was pretty crazy. Yeah, I mean, he got the hat trick, I guess. I thought it was funny. Peter and I texted about this. Like, at the end for that final goal, I believe, like, it was him and then Mudryk, and he could have kind of squared it to Mudryk for the easy tap-in, and he kind of just took it himself, which I thought was kind of interesting. And then, obviously, like, he sued at the end, and I don't know. He seems like a funny character for sure, but, you know, he has appetite, I think is the best word I can use, and I think You know, if he can kind of get a little goal scoring form going, you know, he missed a couple of key chances in this one as well. So, you know, you look at the three goals, but he really could have had like six if he was able to just finish his chances. But, you know, we don't have anyone who's particularly clinical at all to play there. So if he can be partially clinical, I guess we can take that for now.
All right. So before we get into the match stats, let's take a quick break and we'll come right back. Running through Chelsea match stats here, they outshot Tottenham 17-8. Shots on target were 8-5 Chelsea's way. 62% of possession, that's what happens when you have a side that you're facing with less people on the field. Fouls 21-12. This game got chippy at times. I'm sure you guys were texting about that as well. We had some funny, what's the right word I can use? Exchanges between players on the field and a few of those coming in the second half. 5-1 in yellow cards, Chelsea's way. The two red cards for Tottenham. And then 7-3 in offsides, Chelsea led that. And then 6-1 in corners, the Blues led that as well. Chelsea now slides into the top 10 after this victory at 10, exactly 10. They are shared in points with Crystal Palace. However, they're just better because of the goal differential. So they get top 10. And before we before we talk about the next match of this hard stretch against Manchester City on Sunday, guys, Chelsea won a game. And no, it's not like the regular system because Chelsea have lost and drew so many games that we haven't done it. Normally we'd have a system and then like whoever won at the end of the season would, you know, get super excited about it. But I'm just going to do this one for fun. You know, we're going to remember the point totals and who got it, who didn't. And we'll declare a winner on this episode. We're bringing it back for any of you older listeners of this podcast. Chelsea player ratings. The deal is I say the player and Alex and Peter guess what their rating was. If they get it right, they get a point. And then normally, like I said, at the end of the season, we tally up all who won, whatever. We're going to just do for this episode. Whoever gets the most points wins between Alex and Peter. I think we did the Sports Illustrated player ratings. We're just switching it now. We're going to NBC Sports' player ratings. I think they're the most popular, so I wanted to do them. I'm not even going to give you guys any hints unless you really ask for them. There are no halves, though. I will tell you that. There are no halves in this. It's just full-on points. Normally, the Sports Illustrated one did have halves, so I would let our contestants know if they did. These do not. They are full-on whole number ratings. And we'll start out with the player in net, Robert Sanchez. And
wait, so Peter and I are competing, correct?
Are we competing or doing them together?
Didn't we have you guys competing or you guys did them together?
We I think originally, exactly. OG, we competed and then we started doing them together.
Do you want to compete or do you want to do them together?
It's I don't know.
Let's compete. I feel competitive.
Okay, I respect that. You go first.
We say it at the same time. So that way.
We do? No, right.
It doesn't. I mean, you can, but it doesn't matter.
All right, fine. No, you know what? I'll go first. All right, I'm going to say 6.
I'm also going to say 6.
Okay, you guys are both 1-for-1. Keep your scores written down or something. Put it in your notes. I don't care because I'm not going to be able to remember both of them. But you both are 1-for-1. We now move into the back line, starting out with Reece James.
7.
I'm going to go 6 also.
Okay, you both are 1-for-2 now. Reece James is actually given a 5 here. A little harsh critics in NBC Sports. They said, given a tough time by Johnson early on and didn't really have an impact in attack, subbed off. Is there just
I was going to just say, I don't know. You're switching it up on us with this NBC. I don't know how harsh they are. I got accustomed to the older ones. I don't know. Sports Illustrated, they used to give every player a bump just because we won. I don't know what this is. More unbiased.
Well, I could give like a little bit more of a hint, but I don't
That ruins it. That ruins it.
So I'm leaving it. So you guys are both 1-for-2. Continuing in the back line now, center back Thiago Silva.
6.
I'm just going to guess 6 for like everybody.
Thiago Silva was also given a 5. Description.
What?
Looked all over the place early on, but steadied things down even though it was a lot easier in the second half, still had some poor moments. Thiago Silva, 5. You guys both 1 for 3 now. All right, De Saucy.
See, I want to say 6, but I don't know 6. Now. I'm doubting 6. Myself. I'll go 5.
All right, Peter gets 2 points now. Another 5. This one goes to De Saucy. Alex is now 1 for 4. De Saucy, a few poor passes and was cut out of position, on a few occasions. We move to Levi Colwill in the back still.
See, if they're being harsh, I could see a 4 here, but I'll go 5.
I'll also go 5.
Okay, Alex, that notches in your second point of the game, while Peter moves to 3 points. Levi Colwill getting a 5 here as well. Caught by Romero and was at the heart of all the flare-ups in the first half. Subbed off at halftime, and he was on a yellow card. And that is Colwill's description. We move into the midfield. Enzo Fernandez.
4.
Really? I'm going to go 6.
Enzo Fernandez was politely given a 7, so both of you don't get a point here.
Okay, I don't know about that.
He was really poor.
He was poor.
According to NBC Sports, they said he helped Chelsea dictate the tempo of the game and did well to recover after being clattered by Romero. Moises Caicedo.
See, 7. I don't know now. That Enzo 7 threw me off.
I'll go 7, too.
I'll also go 7.
Moises Caicedo, another generous rating here by NBC Sports.
8.
An 8. This was his type of game. Dominated midfield and lashed home a beauty, only for it to be ruled out for offsides on
Jackson. See, but they're counting a disallowed goal as if he scored it.
NBC Sports, we're going to have to get used to it. Hopefully we have more wins so you guys can get used to this format. But if I'm correct, you guys correct me. If I'm wrong, Peter with 3 points, Alex with 2.
Correct.
Connor Gallagher in the midfield as well.
6?
7.
Another player, another 8. All action play and ended the game with an assist. He was up for the fight.
Yeah, bring back Sports Illustrated, man.
Control the manner.
Bring back Sports Illustrated. I've seen enough.
Moving forward and moving on now after, you know, Peter's complaints. If he wants to, I couldn't find the Sports Illustrated article. I scrolled, okay? We're going to move to Cole Palmer, though, because we're staying with what we have right now.
If Caicedo got an 8, then I think he gets a 9.
I'll go 8.
Alex, correct. Notched up the score at 3-3 with 2 players left to go. It's going to be a nail-biter here.
Caicedo didn't score a goal, but... Oh.
What a lovely footballer. He drifted around and caused problems, and he was influential in Chelsea eventually racing away. Nico Jackson, the 3-goal hat trick performer, gets a...
9. This is the toughest one. No, because his performance was not a 9. But based on everything else, I'm going to go 8.
Peter sticks with his instincts, gets this one. Correct. Got a hat trick thanks to 3 late goals, but could have had 5 or 6. He was a real nuisance, but still has to work on his finishing. And we move to the final player here. Will it end in a tie, or will it end in a victory for Peter here in our first player match ratings of the 23-24 season? Raheem Sterling up front.
They gave Enzo bonus points for forcing a red card, and Sterling also got a red card forced on him on that tackle by Udogie. So I'm gonna go 7.
I'll go 8 because I need to make up one.
It is a Peter victory. Raheem Sterling a 9.
What? So doesn't even get the no, 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 no,
I've been robbed.
Who else? Wait. Who else got a 9?
Let me read the description first, and then I'll get to the player. Turned Spurs inside out on so many occasions and had a disallowed goal. Was instrumental in winning it with his well-timed runs. No other player in this match got a 9, Peter. It was all 8s across the board.
Late. Oh, okay. And from now on, I'm going to find the Sports Illustrated one. I can't have this anymore. I'm sorry. That's atrocious. Don't get me wrong. Sterling had a good game. But for him to be the best rated player on the pitch, is, I don't think that's accurate.
Alex? But
I'll take the W, though.
For Peter, would you accept if Alex got every single subs rating right that he's able to tie? He has to get all three of them right, though.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Do Alex, I get the guess, too? What if I get them all right? Does that mean I get bonus points?
I mean, like, sure.
No, you don't get to guess. You don't get to guess.
No,
Alex, they do not give Ugochukwu a rating. So you have Kukurea, Mudryk, and Gusto. You can go one Kukurea by one. Seven. Okay, you're already wrong, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, okay, can I guess the other five. Two?
Yeah, go ahead.
So it, who were the other two? Mudryk
Kukurea
and...
got a five, Mudryk and Gusto.
Gusto, six, Mudryk, five.
Gusto 6, Mudryk 6.
Oh, I was so close. Oh.
But that's going to do it for our player ratings. Peter with the victory here and Chelsea with the victory in this match as they look towards a Sunday game against the top of the table, the top of the league, whatever you want to call them, Manchester City up there once again while Chelsea down. That's all I'll say. But up right now, we're on a hot streak. We'll see if that continues in this match. The game is at 11:30. AM for us here in the East Coast. That means 4:30 PM in the UK, if I'm not mistaken. Unless daylight saving. See, now daylight saving throws it off. Is it still 4:30 in the UK or is it 5:30 in the UK now? That's something I have to double check. Let's check it out right now.
4:30, I believe.
Now it's 4:30?
Yeah.
5 hours. So 4:30. It's daylight saving things, man. Or do they have daylight savings too, though? Or is it no, it's just us, right? Oh, they do.
Yeah.
All right. So 4:30 p.m. in the UK when that game will start. And then hopefully Sunday night or Monday we'll have a recap episode for that match. We'll have to see if Chelsea can run it back. But we thank you so much for listening. Follow us on Twitter at Talking Blues Pod and subscribe wherever you're listening. Thank you so much again. Let's go Blues.